Thank you, Lord. This is number four in the series on controlling your soul. Now, if that sounds odd to you, controlling your soul, it's important that you open to Deuteronomy 30. It's important that you understand what the soul is. Man is actually made of three parts. Man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, was it verse 23? So what we've been talking about is the control of your soul, and your soul is the mind, will, and emotions part of you. The mind, the will, and the emotions. So there is a battle to see who can have the greatest influence or effect upon your soul. We said that the Lord does that through the spirit of man. The Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, and the Lord dwells on the inside of your spirit. Okay, when you accepted Christ, he came in, and that's where the recreation took place. On the inside, he replaced that heart of stone, pulled it out, and recreated you. The Greek actually says that you became a being that never existed before. Brand spanking new. That's good news, amen? So what happened? Okay, your spirit man became new. What happened to your body? You didn't shed 30 pounds when you got saved, did you? So your body didn't change. Your spirit man changed. But what's the other part of you that didn't change? The mind, will, and emotions. It didn't change either. Now, the word has something to say about what you do with your mind, will, and emotions. And, of course, you're supposed to renew it. What are you supposed to do with your body? Yeah, take it to the buffet line. Amen. No, that's buffet your body is what the word says, not buffet it. You are supposed to discipline it. The Greek word for your body is soma, S-O-M-A. And, you know, the fact of the matter is the body, it'll do all sorts of crazy things if you let it. But what is the decision-making part of you? It's the mind, will, and emotions. Your chooser, if you will, you choose with your mind, will, and emotions. And so whoever or whatever is influencing your mind, will, and emotions in one direction or the other, either to go further with the Lord or to tend to the things of the body of the flesh, that is a determining factor as to how well your life is going to go. Amen? If you are always doing things and listening to the voice of the body, and we've been talking about how the body speaks and what the body, the methods that the body employs to speak to us, those are on some of the other messages in the series. I'll tell you what, the body has a real loud voice. Have you ever noticed that? Have you noticed that? Well, the body will always disagree with God. The body will always disobey God. If you have a choice between reading the Word and fellowshipping with God, doing some study in the Word, or hitting the golf course, what do you think your body's going to tell you? You're saved anyway. What does it matter? Go to the golf course. Your body will always tell you to do things. Oh, you need more sleep. No, the bottom line is we need to start speaking to our bodies and disciplining our bodies, because your body is something that it's not the real you. Who is the real you? Your spirit, man. When you die, guess what happens to your body? I've done a lot of funerals through the years, and I've never seen one body that suddenly just disappears in front of me. No, that body ends up either being cremated or embalmed and put into a casket in the grave. And eventually, whether it's cremated or not, the body's going to end up dust. So don't get me on the cremation thing. Cremation, what's the big deal? It's your body. Some folks are like, oh, you can't do that. I got news for you. Every body turns into dust eventually. So from the dust you came, that's the afar, the minute particles of the totality of all that God is. That's when he made man of the dust of the earth. That's the Hebrew word afar. And you're going to return to that again. Do you think God can recreate a body that was burned beyond recognition or disintegrated in a blast or, come on. Who are we talking about? Are we talking about a God who can't do that kind of thing? Whew. So, anyway, my view, because I've seen death a lot throughout the years, had to bury, again, my dad and a lot of good friends. When a revelation's there that person's with the Lord, I'm not going to say you don't have grieving or sorrow. You do, because of the physical separation, and you miss that person. But when you know that it's kind of like they're at a ridiculously luxurious resort and there's no telephone service there and you're going to get to see him again, then you can get through that. Amen? So I don't feel sorry for people that are in heaven. I do have a sympathy on the families that are left behind who have to deal with the loss. Really, it's not a loss. They gained. Amen? So go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to look here for a moment. The title of the message today is Controlling Your Body. This ought to be a good one. Amen. Controlling your body. Your body needs to get under control. You're going to find that your mind has a lot to do with how controlled your body ends up being. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. Look at verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Now, there's a key word in that verse. And the key word in that verse is the word choose. Do you see it? Choose. Choose life. So he tells you what to choose. And it's amazing, a lot of people are choosing the opposite of that. Choices. You and I make choices every day of the week, numerous times throughout the day. You made a choice this morning to get up and come here and worship God. You made a choice to shower or bathe or whatever you did and get cleaned up and put on a certain, you chose what you put on today. You didn't just close your eyes and reach in the closet and stick it on and do everything and then open your eyes and see what you got. You didn't do that. You chose, right? You chose, and choices are, common to us. We make choices all the time. But the bottom line is here, we're told what to choose. So he's saying, choose life. Now there's blessing and cursing that's out there. Now, nobody in their right mind would choose that. But yet, at times, people default and don't recognize what they're in fact choosing. So in society today, even in the church, people have a tendency to blame others for things that go on in their lives. You realize that? Maybe you've done it. Well, it was my upbringing. Well, I didn't have all the advantages. They're privileged people. I'm not privileged. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth, those types of things. And excuses. Well, my parents treated me, they didn't raise me right. Blame shifting, always putting it off on somebody else. But the bottom line is, you and I are products of the choices that we've made throughout our lives. We may try to and have tried to blame other people. Don't do that. That's a foolish route to go, because ultimately you're the one who made the choice to not do this or to do this. And so own up to it, man up, be a big girl, amen, and admit it. But here's the good thing about that. Well, I don't like the way my life is going. Guess what? Because choices are involved, you can change that. That's the positive in that. You're told to choose life. You can, in fact, choose life over death. Amen. Amen. So here's something that you need to consider. Whatever, and I said it to you before, but whatever influence affects your thoughts and feelings the most, whatever influence it happens to be, whatever it is that's influencing your thoughts and really, you know, your feelings the most is ultimately the thing or the person even that will control the destiny in your life. Why? Because whoever's affecting your thoughts, your mind, will, and emotions, your soul, whoever has the greatest effect there, whether it be the devil speaking through the flesh, ministering through the body as he does, he doesn't have access to your spirit man. Or if it's the Spirit of God, the Father himself, ministering through your spirit or speaking to your spirit. Remember, you're three parts. Don't let me lose you now. You're spirit, soul, and body. God ministers through the spirit of man, the spirit of man's candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts. Book of Proverbs tells us that. The Lord, by his spirit, resides on the inside of your spirit. Your spirit is born again if you've accepted Jesus. It's new. It's alive unto God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You can come boldly to the throne of grace is what the word says. So with all that in mind, your body is not renewed. Your body still has that fleshly tendency, the let it all hang out tendency. You know what I'm talking about? If it feels good, do it. You know. And what's the determining factor which way you go? Whether you go and seek out the things of God or seek out the things of the flesh. It's right here. It's your chooser. It's the soul. So whoever's having the greatest effect upon this is the one who's going to control which way you go. Do you realize it can be a person? In fact, the person that you have the greatest challenge with being around? Do you realize that? A person that every time you get around them, you get irritated. They're just hard to take. They never shut up. You know, the thing. Nobody knows people like that in here. Oh, they just grind on me. I can take them in very, very small doses. Some of you have said that. I can take that person in small. Ooh. Lord, help me to love them. I want to bash their head in. No, you don't do that. So, but listen, if that person who bugs you so much and is such a challenge to your love walk is constantly in your thoughts and you're irritated and they, guess who's controlling your destiny? That, now, of course, it's not the person, but there's a spirit pushing that person, and it ain't the Holy Spirit, to be an irritation. So now who is determining and controlling your destiny? Whoever could control your soul. The soul is the tipping point, if you will, to which way you're going to go. Well, I thought the soul was the part that went to heaven. Well, that's what you get for thinking. I mean, it's good to think, don't get me wrong. But the spirit of man, that's the spirit, okay, goes on to be with the Lord. So let's go on. In this series, we talked about how your body talks to you. Get this. Write these down if you don't have them. Take them down. They'll be on, you know, this will be available later on to watch, and then there will be a copy put upon, not video, but the audio on our website. The body has a language. Now, there are some things that I told you in the beginning of the series. I think it was maybe number two in the series. Here's some language of the body. Selfishness, right? Selfishness. The body is earthly minded. The scripture calls your body, and Paul called it, a body of death. Well, that's a wonderful thought. There's a law of sin. The fourth one, there's the law of sin that's working in your members. We're going to look at that today. Your body wants to always rebel against authority. Your body doesn't like to be told what to do. Not by somebody, and certainly not by you. When you tell your body, you're not going to have that ho-ho. I haven't had a ho-ho in years, man. It was always the Suzy cues I liked when I was a kid. Anybody remember those? Oh, yeah. Not one Twinkie, a whole box of Twinkies. And you do that one time, and you'll never do it again. And then your mouth is just greasy. In those days, I could eat whatever I wanted and didn't put a pound on, you know. But your body will rebel against authority. And so when somebody comes along and says something that you don't like, your body will go, you don't have to listen to that. You don't have to listen to that. Who do they think they are? Well, God has ordained authority. We looked at that from Romans 13. And again, go back to number 2 in the series and you can find that. The body always goes to excess. That's the other thing. The body will go nuts if you let it. Okay? The real you is the spirit man. The spirit of man. That spirit, pneuma is the Greek word. We get a word like pneumatic. Air-driven tool is a pneumatic tool. Your tires are pneumatic. Why? Because you put air in them, right? Well, God breathed his pneuma. In Hebrew, it's ruach. His spirit, his breath. Man, get us going on the breath of God. Amen. He breathed his breath into man, breathed life into him. Gave man a nephesh, a soul. In Greek, it's psuche. We get words like psyche, psychology, things dealing with the mind. And he created this body that houses it all. So, you have a choice. Again, you have choices. What are you going to do? You're going to get in the Word? You're going to go the route of the spiritual things that we have to deal with? Get into the Word. This is a blueprint for your life. Covenant rights are outlined here. As you study it, you begin to understand it more and more, or you're going to listen to the voice of the flesh and do whatever feels good to you and go with the flow. Everyone else is doing it. I don't care if everyone else is jumping off a cliff. I'm not about to. Amen? Amen. That's right. So let's go to Romans 7. We'll kind of pick up where we left off last week. Again, today we're going to be talking about controlling your body. Let me grab a little bit of this water. It is so dry up here. Thank you, David. You're a blessing. Oh, you put ice in it today. Very good. Romans chapter 7. Let's go back and look at verse 15. This is the dilemma that Paul found himself in life, and I guarantee you this speaks to every one of us in here today. Look at verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. You see that? For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I, or that's what I end up doing. You know, the thing I say I'm not going to do again, I end up doing. Anybody in here ever said you're not going to do something, and then you turn right around a few days later after you were so strong, and you turn around and you give in to it again? Paul was dealing with it. Jump down to verse 18. I mean, you can read all the rest, but I'm just going to jump to 18. So if you want to stay with me, then read 18. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I don't find. I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that's what I end up doing. Now, this is a scriptural description of a person who is being body ruled. You see that? Now, listen, I'm telling you, you can't be casual about how you deal with this. If you're casual about it, oh, you know, if I feel good that day, I'll deal with some of this fleshly appetite that I've been having for these things. No, no, no. You need to begin to treat this very, very seriously in your life. Turn over to Galatians. Hold your place in Romans 7 there for a moment and just go over to Galatians 5. I just want to show you something because the fruit of the Spirit is outlined in Galatians 5, but so are the works of the flesh. Now look at this. Now remember, this is written to the church at Galatia. These are Christians that this was being written to. It's always important in your study that you understand who's the target audience of the letter that Paul penned by the Holy Spirit. And here it is. He's writing to the church. Verse 18 says, but if you're led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now look at verse 19. But now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now, I said this a few weeks ago, and I underlined that, and such like tells me this is not a comprehensive list of all of these things. There are other things that could go underneath this, so in case you thought of something, it's under there. And such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And now he goes into the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22. But what I want to point out to you is that these are works, and they're fleshly works. And he's saying those that do these things, there's a Greek word that means those that practice these things continually, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, why is that? There's two ways of looking at that. The kingdom of God is where God is ruling and reigning. A person who's constantly giving in to these fleshly things, they're not going to have the rule and reign of God happening in their life. People have a tendency to think of the kingdom of God only in the future tense, but there is a kingdom that Jesus said is in you. The kingdom is in you. Okay? So when he talks about inheriting the kingdom of God, those that practice these things, they're not having God ruling and reigning in their lives. That's pretty obvious. If they're out sleeping around, they're out doing this, doing that, you know, tipping a tall one, all that kind of stuff that they do. I mean, I grew up in Milwaukee, so don't talk to me about going out and drinking, okay? That old man died so long ago that to even say that is like, I don't know that guy. That guy is gone. Just like Paul said, remember when Paul said, I have wronged no man? Excuse me, Paul, you were the one standing there holding the coat when they stoned Stephen. What do you mean you've wronged no man? The guy that did that died on the road to Damascus. Amen. So the guy that was cuss mouth died. The guy that was drank died. The guy that did this, the girl that did this. If you're born again, that stuff's in the past. You're forgiven, you're cleansed, you're recreated, you're a new person. You know, the only problem with that with people is people don't forget sometimes. Have you noticed that? Oh, sure, Yankunis, you got religion? I remember somebody saying that to me. He's like, no, I accepted Jesus. I'm not into the religion thing, if you will. I have a relationship with him. So, in this list here, so you can look at it that way, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. But what is the one sin that sends you to hell? Does anybody know? Be rejecting Jesus, right? You know, these are all works, and they're not good works, because the wage of sin is death. You start working along this line, and it's going to produce some bad stuff in your life. But if you practice these things over and over and don't get control over your body, you could come to the place where you willfully reject Jesus Christ because you're so body ruled. I don't believe that Jesus stuff anymore. I used to, you know, but man, I love the way my life is going now. I don't believe that stuff anymore. The only way you can ever lose salvation is if you choose to turn away. And that has a whole lot of different stipulations to it. A mature person, they have to be way beyond just the normal person who accepts Jesus and then is dealing with fleshly things in their life. Because some of you have gotten mad at God before and said, I don't want to mess with you anymore. I'm tired of you. You promised me this and it didn't happen. And look what happened over here. And you start blaming God for stuff that he never did. People get frustrated and lash out at the one that loves them the most. Why did you let this happen to me? Wait a minute. The thief comes to do what? Pam just said it. Steal, kill, and destroy. God's not the one killing people. God's not the one pulling your loved one out of here to hurt you. God's not the one that did that to you. He's not the author of that kind of destruction and garbage that goes on. So you need to recognize who's talking to you and who's trying to get you to go opposite of what the Word has to say about all that stuff. You stick to what the Spirit of God has to say. Stick to what the Word says. You'll begin to understand there's one who's attacking. You got to be smart and listen to who's talking to you. Don't just assume everything that happens was God, because it's not. Right. Scripture is very plain about that. So, anyway, let's go on. Because, you know, salvation is not by works. You're saved by grace through faith, right? Ephesians 2, verse 8, right? So these are all works of the flesh, that there's only one thing that can keep you out of heaven, and that is the rejection of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So let's step into what we touched on last week, and I'll just give you two more points, and we'll go home. Last week, we talked about how to, you know, determine whether your body ruled or not. Does anybody in here think at a point in your life that you were body ruled? Don't admit it right now. But if, you know, your body always takes ascendancy and your flesh takes ascendancy over the things of the Word. I do things from the Word that there are times my body screams about. Write another sermon? Preach? Walk in love toward that person? I say, shut up, body. You're not going to tell me what I'm going to do. Why? Because the real me is not my body. You get that? Who's the real you? The spirit man, the pneuma. Oh, I don't know about that. Man is a spirit. Paul talks about it. Your spirit, soul, and body. Tripartite, three parts. The real you is the spirit. The body, when it dies, it dies. It's you know, done. But the real you goes on to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body, what the Bible say, is to be present with the Lord. So here's how do you determine these things about whether your body's ruled. Anytime that you have uncontrolled behavior, it is always, this was number one, uncontrolled behavior is always rooted in misbelief. In other words, you're believing something that's not true. Like, oh, if I do that one more time, it's no big deal. That's a real common one. Oh, the Lord understands. I'm a guy and I have needs. Yeah, well, my cat's a cat and that cat has needs. Right? I mean, that excuse, people make excuses, but uncontrolled behavior is always rooted in misbelief. Because if it's the truth, John 8:32, Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Man, I'll tell you, if you're believing something that's not the truth, you're going to get hung up in something over and over and over again. So what we talked about was how important it is to understand this, that all deliberate behavior is preceded by, now get this, all deliberate behavior, all deliberate uncontrolled behavior, things that people enter into time and again, is always preceded by a monologue or some kind of self-talk that goes on in your head. Now, if you just stop and think about the times that you have given into things that you knew good and well were not right, somehow or another, you came up with it in your thoughts. You know, you're whether you know it or not, your spirit's going, hey, that isn't right. You shouldn't do that. And your body's going, yeah, but it'll be okay. Yeah, you do that, you're going to end up in trouble over here, and that's not good. You know, no, but it'll be all right. Just one more time isn't going to hurt. And this argument is going on right here. Now, if you just be honest about it, you'll admit that what I'm telling you is true. And some of you this week, not some of you, all of you, were confronted with an argument to either do the word or not do the word this past week. And it'll happen numerous times today. It may have already happened today. And those, that self-talk that goes on is something that you need to recognize. And if you will be quiet and listen, you will come to the conclusion of who the culprit is in this thing and what kind of excuse or what kind of misbelief you've been grabbing onto. Yeah, well, everybody does it. That's misbelief. That's not true. You're believing something that's not true. The devil has to get you to believe something. Well, the devil? Yeah, the devil. It's not God. Isn't it just me? Well, who's influencing your soul? We wrestle, the Bible says in Ephesians 6, verse, 10? It says, be strong in the Lord. But in verse 12, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. Your battle, yeah. You believe in a personal devil? You don't? What do you mean, personal? I mean, there are a lot of demons running around telling people to do stuff. Who do you suppose told that man to shoot that little 5-year-old boy in the head the other day? Was that the Spirit of God? Come on, was it? Who said kill him? Who comes to steal, kill, and destroy? It's that simple. If it's evil, put a D in front of it. It's the devil. If it's good, pull an O out, you got God. I mean, this word is not so complicated that when you get into it that you get confused. People confuse the issues, and the enemy likes to get in there and mess with people's heads. So whatever deliberate behavior that you're getting ready to enter into and this argument is going on, listen to the self-talk and be honest with yourself. What are you believing? That, oh, it's okay? You know, I have to have some alcohol because I need to have peace. Well, we know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, the Sar, S-A-R is a Hebrew word. He is the captain of your salvation. He's the source. He's the one that brings peace, and you're thinking you're going to get it here because everyone is doing it. That is a misbelief and a lie that if you buy into, you'll just flow in that direction. Don't talk to me about drinking. I used to drink before I was a believer, so I understand that. I understand the lies. I understand the things that go on. What is it in your life today that you convince yourself every time it comes around you ought to pick up your Bible that somehow this is more important to do? You're believing something that's not true. It's not more important than this. Okay, got two amens. Number two, show your body who's the boss. We talked about out of 1 Corinthians 9, verses 25 through 27, we're told to buffet our bodies, right? Buffet is a Greek word that means handle it roughly, discipline it by hardship, and subdue it. There's nothing wrong with you showing your body who's the boss. Your body will eat the most fattening stuff, drink stuff it shouldn't drink. Your body will look at things it shouldn't look at. Your body will do all sorts of crazy, fleshly, ungodly, undisciplined things. And where is that influence coming from? It's not coming from God. It's coming from the enemy. And he uses the voice of the flesh, the feelings. He tries to manipulate your mind, will, and emotions. And you got to be smart to this and recognize it, that you're caught in the middle of a battle. I don't like that. I don't want to be. Too late, you know? You get to be. Amen. All right, let's go to number three because I have two more to get through and I'm going to get through in the next 10 minutes. James chapter 3, quickly. James 3, let's leave Romans 7, go to James 3. James 3 is the chapter that deals with the tongue. You remember how important the tongue is? Verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. You see that? Then he goes on, he says, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth, even so the tongue's a little member, and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. Now, in this, the tongue, I read in the Amplified, and in verse, I believe it's 2, at the end, and Shanda, you have your Amplified, it uses the phrase, never say the wrong things. Do you see that at the end of verse? Oh, you're not there yet. Okay. And I left my phone at the house today. Just read it out loud, loudly, so everyone can hear it. 2, yeah. Never, thank you, never says the wrong things. Come on. Have you ever said the wrong thing? Do I look fat in this dress? What do you say to that? Perhaps, like Lincoln did. You remember the commercial? Hey, you just shut up right there. You don't say anything. Do I look fat? Depends if you want a truthful answer or not. Yeah, we better stop right there. Never say the wrong things. What would be saying the wrong thing? When you say something that is against what God's word says, that's saying the wrong things. When you say the wrong things, if you have a hold of your tongue and your tongue is saying the right things, it's likened to the bit in a horse's mouth. A horse is a powerful animal, a lot more powerful than how many of us put together in here. And yet you can control that horse with that bit in the mouth. Or the guy's steering a big ship. You know, that one guy is up there and he's got the wheel, you know, watching the wheel. He's turning an aircraft carrier with a wheel. And in the back is this rudder. Now, granted, the rudder is big on an aircraft carrier. Some of these big ships, the bigger the ship, the bigger the rudder must be. But in comparison to the size of the thing as a whole, it's pretty small. Your tongue, compared to the rest of your body, is pretty small. And with that tongue, you can direct either your life into a storm or out of a storm. Just like that captain on the boat can direct that boat out of a storm or into a storm. Just depends on which way they steer it. Get the word in your mouth and tell your body what it's going to do, just like you when you put a bit in a horse's mouth. Amen? Let's go to number 4. Here's the one I really want to send around for the next few minutes. Number 4 is meditate. We're talking about how to control your body today. And so number 3 was use your tongue to speak to your body. Number 4 is meditate and then put /imagine. And let me explain that, because go over to Romans 7. We need to explain this part of it. I really don't want you to miss this. This is absolutely essential. Romans chapter 7, we're back there in 7. And in Romans 7, look at verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. What is the law of God? Well, he's talking about Paul saying, I delight in the word. I love the word. Verse 23 starts with the word but. But I see another law in my members, look at this, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. So he sees another law in his members warring against the law of his mind. So you can readily see the law of his mind. If there's another law warring against the law of the mind, God put the law of the mind in the man. He sees another law in his members, and he's saying right at the end of the verse, the law of sin which is in my members. Do you see that? That's verse 23. So he talks about the law of the mind. The law of the mind is God ordained. And it's a law. It will produce the same particular result every time you employ it, every time you put it to practice. If I jump off of this stair right now, how many of y'all know, how many of y'all think I'm going to float about this high off the ground? Will I walk out on air? Right? It'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? What's going to happen if I jump off this step?
You're going to fall.
Why? What law is in force? The law of gravity, right? The law of the mind works every time. If you know what that law is and you apply what the word has to say about that law, the law of the mind. Turn over and let's just go 1 Peter chapter 1. So the law of the mind is spoken of in the scriptures, and I would suggest that you spend some time meditating on this and thinking about it and see the truth that is in the word. Your mind, and the world says it this way. They say, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Well, that's exactly right. People don't realize the role that the mind plays. Again, it's your chooser, your mind, will, and emotions. It'll either go with the flesh, with the things of the body, or with the spirit, the things of the spirit, depending upon who has the greatest influence in your thoughts. 1 Peter chapter 1, quickly, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, what to be sober means to be sound-minded, by the way. Casting down imagination, 2 Corinthians 10 speaks of that. Now, but gird up the loins of your mind, loins. Here's the way the word loins is defined. The seat of procreative or procreative power. The ability to bring life into existence. The ability to bring life into existence. The seat of procreative or procreative, if you will, power. In a biological sense, it's the part of the human body that has the ability or the capacity to produce life. Everyone knows what the loins are. But here he's talking about the loins of your mind. He's likening your mind to your loins. I don't make a joke about that, but I'm telling you, there is an ability in your mind, has the capacity to be used of the Lord, to bring spiritual truth into the temporal realm. Somebody say, well, that's just mind over matter. Everybody knows that people try to do that. No, we're not talking mind over matter here. We're talking about the role of your soul, the role of your mind, the law of the mind. When you put something into your thoughts and meditate on it and think on it, what happens eventually is you begin to have some imagery that forms. If I say to you, big red dog, how many of y'all just thought of a picture of Clifford? Who? It's not that long ago that Austin was little and I was forced to watch cartoons. If I say, okay, what if I say, big, in fact, huge man. Did you see H-U-G-E space M-A-N, or did you have a picture of some giant, some big guy? And that may vary from person to person. Somebody saw a picture of what they think Goliath looked like, right? Okay, what's the point? The point is that you see in images, or excuse me, you think in images. Of course you see in images. You think in pictures. This should not be a major revelation, but we don't always realize it. When you start describing things very quickly, images start to pop up. The law of the mind is that law that if you will take something from the word and meditate on it, images begin to be built in you. the law of sin in Paul's members, in your members, and in my members, works against that law, trying to influence it with other images and other thoughts that produce visions. I don't want to even use the word visions because I'm not talking about having a vision. I'm talking about having images in your thinking of how you see yourself. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself overcoming? Do you see yourself laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover? Long before I went to Central America and saw all those miracles in that campaign, I meditated on what the Lord had, the assignment I had to go down there. And I saw myself, I just meditate on the fact that we're going to lay hands on hundreds, even thousands of people, and I see God doing miracles. I know he will. He always shows up like that. Do you know that's exactly what happened? The law of the mind, it's the word that has to be inputted, if you will, into your mind and then begin to produce images in your thinking. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're not some little worm who can't come to the throne of grace. You can approach the throne of grace with boldness and have the ear of God. How do you see yourself today? That's the question. Do you see yourself winning in this life? You say, well, Pastor Dan, that just sounds like you're trying to get us to manipulate our minds to think a certain... Well, no, hold it. What does the word say? If the word says you're more than a conqueror in Christ, why do you see yourself as never having enough? Every time something happens, it's just going to get, we get ready to go on a vacation, somebody will get sick, or, this opportunity approaches and something will fall through with it. Why do you always think in those negative things? Because of what's been influencing your thinking all along. You need to let the word influence your thinking. You need to let the word get in there. Let the word meditate on that word. We're going to find that the word meditate and the word imagine are the same word used in the Hebrew language. You remember the people at the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11? Just make a note of it. The Bible said they wouldn't be restrained in anything that they set out to do. Those were people that didn't know the Lord. They didn't know the Lord. And yet they could do anything if they stayed in unison and let their minds be used the way God had created the mind to be able to be used. The law of the mind was placed into man long, long time ago. And whatever you begin to meditate on and imagine in your life, there's some real power there. Now, so we're supposed to renew our minds with the word, right? Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. Okay? We're told to renew our minds with the word of God. And I tell you what, there's a metamorphosis that takes place. That's the Greek word for renew. And it means to kind of like take you from a caterpillar state to a butterfly. In other words, flourish and fully develop. Renew your mind with the word. What are you putting into your mind? That's the big question. How do things enter your mind? What you look at? You look at enough garbage, it'll form a picture in your head that you'll have a hard time getting rid of. Why do you think pornography is a multi-billion-dollar business? Plays on the hormones of men predominantly, but the images that are created in the thoughts. Wow. I don't think I want to hear that in church. Well, I think you need to hear it. And whether it's that or something else, this whole process, the law of the mind, has a law of sin that's coming against it to pervert it. Paul said, I see another law in my members working against the law of my mind. Did you realize there's a law of the mind? And the law of sin is working against it. So the law of the mind has to be of God. If the law of sin's working against it, God's not the author of the law of sin. He placed the law of the mind in you so that you can gain control over your body. Just like you put a bit in a horse's mouth, you can gain control over your body by filling your thinking with what God wants you to fill it with. But the renewal of the mind is not just reading the word. The renewal of the mind, or renewing your mind, actually, you have to take what the word says and replace what the world has taught you to think. You take the system of values that the word has to speak of. A whole system of values. And this is over a period of time this happens. It doesn't happen in an instant. A whole system of values. The word of God has to be put in. Obviously, you need to read it and study it and meditate on it. Yes, amen. But you need to, by choice, consistently go through that process of putting the word into your thinking day after day after day, and reject things that will tend toward the law of sin. This is the key to your faith then working as well. Let me just quickly go to Psalm 1 and we're done. Psalm 1. This is where I told you that the Hebrew words that are used. And there's so much here, but I don't want to, you know, we've gone long enough. Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So blessed is that man. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You see that? The Hebrew word for meditate, doggah. You could just, you think of doggone, but it's not. It's D-A-W, phonetically spelled D-A-W-G-A-W, doggah. And that literally means to imagine. To imagine. Or to mentally image. Jump down to chapter 2, look at verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Guess what word is used for imagine right there? Doggah, same word. So you could say it this way, and in his law doth he imagine day and night in verse 2 of chapter 1. See that? Why do the heathen rage and the people meditate a vain thing? Meditate, imagine. Put the word in. Meditate on it. Chew on it. Spend some time in it. You need to start to see yourself the way God says you can be. Ron Brown wrote a song years ago, I'm a Winner. Y'all remember he sung it right here on the piano. Ron and Demetra are out in California. Hello, guys. And he's the West Coast director of Teen Challenge, by the way. Good man. Loves God. Good friend. I will only say what God says about me. His word only will I. You remember it? Speak because I'm a winner. It's got a good beat to it. Good, yeah. But the thing is, we want to say the right things. We want to meditate on the right things. Go ahead, stand to your feet. We want to say the right things. We want to meditate on the right things. You need to get your mind flooded and filled with the Word of God. How are you ever going to control your body? How are you ever going to do that if you don't realize the importance of the law of the mind? The law of the mind is in place. And if you will put the word into your thoughts, that law will function with a particular result every time if you just do it. Just do it. Some of you are fighting against sin in your life, and you've got some habits, some things that you enter into and do, and you feel terrible after you do them, and then you repent, you swear up and down you'll not do it again, and you turn around and do it 2 days later. Now, I'll tell you something. There's some misbelief going on for you to consistently enter into that kind of thing. The devil has, through the flesh, not necessarily Satan himself, but a spirit, a demon that has lied to me, to you, to get us to bite on things, to go that direction. Need to stop and listen and be honest with yourself of what excuses are you making to enter into that kind of activity in order to justify it in your own eyes. All along knowing this isn't right. The law of the mind, you're going to have to input some things into your thoughts. Study in particular about whatever it is that you've been believing is the lie behind you giving into the same thing over and over again. Listen to the self-talk, the argument that goes on. Literally, that's your body and your spirit contending for the thoughts. It's the Spirit of God through your spirit, man, and the enemy through the fleshly and the voice of the flesh trying to influence your will to get you to go another direction, one way or the other. You know the old little cartoons with a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other? It's not an angel necessarily, but an angel can speak the word to you. An angel spoke the word to Jesus in the garden, remember? And strengthened him, the Bible said. But literally, you know, be on top of this. You need to have consistent patterns of thought and imagery going on in you, seeing yourself the way God sees you. Amen. One of the biggest things that I struggled with, it's just a little beetle. Should I pick it up and toss it to you? No, I won't smash it. Excuse me. All right, go over there. Bet you never saw a preacher do that before, right? One of the things about self-image, some of you struggle with self-image. You know why you struggle with self-image? Because you see in yourself the way the enemy's been trying to paint the picture to you. And God's word has something to say. You're so precious, he sent his only son. We have one child, Ann and I. Would I give my only son up for people that I'm not even guaranteed would believe on me? And I could stop it from happening? Whoa. God loved you so much, he gave his only son to die for you. And the enemy comes along and tells you, you're no good. You walk funny. You look funny. You're stupid. You know. You'll never amount to anything. And then somebody else says that, and then it's reinforced, and now the law of the mind is working against you. What does God's word say? You're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. He'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The word tells you have authority over the devil in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I know I threw a lot out today, but I need to get through that. So bow your head with me, and let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the study that we've entered into today, the time of praise and worship, the revelation that came to us this morning, Lord God. We expect victory. We will employ what the word has to say and put the word into our thoughts and let you paint the picture in us of what you would have us to see and how you look at us. We want to see us how you see us. We want to reflect your glory to the world. We want to be those that are actively involved in doing that. And so we bless you today. We give you glory, honor, thanksgiving, and praise. In the name of the Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Come on, if you all agree, say amen.